welcome this morning to Vermont's governor, Peter Shumlin.
So great to be on WDEV and back with you, Mark.
69 votes for your opponent yesterday. Some interpreting that a bit of a rebuke for you. How do you interpret that? And give me a straight answer, please.
I'm so thrilled to have another, be elected to another term as governor. It's humbling, and we got a lot of work to do.
So what did, but what did those 69 votes, what was the message you took away from that, if any?
This was the first time in, since we were running around this building with wigs on our heads, that I can remember anyway, where two major party candidates were asking their parties for votes. In other words, when Doug Racine lost narrowly to Governor Douglas, Doug Racine said, please, Democrats, vote for Governor Douglas. When Anthony Polina and I lost to Brian Doobie that year in a lieutenant governor's race, we both said, please, vote for Brian Doobie. When I defeated Brian Doobie 4 years ago, Brian said, please, vote for Pete Shumlin. This was the first time it was different. So what happened was, pretty much, to summarize, the Republicans voted for their candidate, and the Democrats voted for theirs, and we move on and get the job done. There should be no big surprise in those numbers.
You said yesterday, sort of telegraphing forward here, talking about the budget. We'll get to the topics you talked about here yesterday in a moment. But you yesterday used the word a balanced approach when you're talking about this $100 million problem deficit that you're going to try to fill in your budget. So when I hear the word balanced, I hear mix of cuts, but I also hear in that that there might be some taxes raised when you say balanced. Am I right?
Well, this is what we're trying to do. Here's our problem. There are those who believe that you should solve this whole problem with taxes. There are others who believe that you shouldn't raise any taxes. You know, I think the Senate leader, Joe Benning, said on VPR the other day, this can't be solved without taxes. Here's my view. I've worked really hard over the last 4 years to balance four consecutive budgets without raising income tax rates, sales tax rates, and rooms and meals tax rates, because I just feel it's not that I'm, you know, some right winger who's taking Tea Party pledges. I just feel they're high enough. I mean, Vermonters are paying a lot of taxes. Having said that, even if you balanced it all with revenue, as an example, it doesn't solve your problem, because as long as you're spending at a 5% rate and your growth is 3%, you'd be right back here next year saying, hey, team, guess what? We've got to raise another X in taxes. So what we have to do is try find a smart balance, but you can't do this without making real significant, bending the cost curve. And I don't like to say cuts, but bending the cost curve so that you're not back here next year trying to solve another big challenge. So bottom line is you have to make some fundamental structural changes to state government. Obviously, you can't do it all with cuts, but you better do a lot of it with cuts or you'll be right here next year facing similar challenges.
So are you going to make the case here that you've done the best you could over the last 4 years and that now you got a little bit creep in here of new revenue?
Well, we got to wait to see the case I make. But what I'm really trying to do is do what I was elected to do, which is do what's best for Vermont. That means number one governor's responsibility is fiscal responsibility.
Okay, I know help me out here. You just said that this can't all be done with cuts. So is there anything beside new revenue that I'm missing that could be, or is that, I mean, that's the only other option, right?
Well, you'll have to wait till next week to hear the budget. We kind of like to, we governors, Republicans and Democrats, kind of like to let the budget address be the budget address. Having said I'm saying is I'm going to do as much as I possibly can without raising tax burden on Vermonters, because okay, that's just what I believe.
So would that mean there might be some revenue that isn't a broad-based revenue?
You know how much I do not want to raise income tax rates, sales tax rates, rooms and meals tax rates.
Okay, I know that, but this is a number that's higher than what you've usually dealt with the past two times you've been trying to make that pledge.
Yep.
So can you hang on to that? Can you hang on to that pledge?
We're trying to very, very hard.
Okay, you're trying to, but that doesn't sound like a lockdown hold guarantee.
Well, you just got to wait and see. I want you to come to the speech. If I give you the speech now, you're not going to show up.
If you say that new revenue's got to be part of it, that's going to make people and me want to come probably even more. So give me more incentive to come.
I'm looking forward to seeing you there, and you know I'm not trying to be glib. This is a tough budget. It's the toughest one I've had to put together. We have to find ways to match our desire to spend with Vermonters' ability to pay, and I didn't hear in this election, Governor, please find a way to raise $100 million in taxes and come back next year and ask us to do it again. So that will not be the approach that we're taking.
What do you say to people who've said for the past 5, 6, 7 years, really, I guess, since 08, you know, why is the state spending so much money? That this is inevitable, what you're talking about, this gap right now. There have been people that have been saying this for years, and why is the legislature keep doing a 5%, that they got to keep it under control? You know, how do you respond to that?
This is a tough time to be in government. We have tremendous need. We are working in a climate right now where it's just the reality, where low-income Vermonters are worse off. This is not just Vermont. This is across the nation, but this is the national trend where people who are struggling are worse off than they were in the depths of the recession, and where middle-class folks have not seen their incomes increase. As I said yesterday, the gap between those who have, the small percentage at the top, and everybody else has never been wider since before the Great Depression.
Yep.
So that's the phenomenon. That's why people are so frustrated. So what do you do about that as a governor? What you do is you go after the real cost drivers, and that's why in my two phases of laying out my agenda for progress for Vermont, we're going to hit the things that really are hurting us. What are they? First of all, the opportunity to grow more jobs. That's the best way to fix this problem. And as I mentioned yesterday, we actually have a corner, a niche on the market, similar to the ski areas, you know, many, many years ago when we were just starting to figure out the ski industry, where we can turn, in my view, our whole energy innovation into a huge job creator for Vermont going forward and do good things for the planet. Second, if you've got blue-green algae blooming in our lakes so that you not only do you not want to swim in them, but you got to get away with them because they stink so badly. I mean, team, that's not a recipe for prosperity for a Vermont that is based upon our quality of life, our natural habitat, clean water. And then finally, you'll hear me next week, healthcare costs are rising faster than we can keep up. That's what's pulling the most money out of our pockets. And I'll have a very ambitious plan to push ahead with healthcare reform, understanding we can't go as quickly as I wish to a public finance system, but you'll see a very ambitious plan there. School spending is also rising faster than our incomes can keep up, so we'll have some proposals there. Third, when I go out and talk to employers, they say to me, Governor, if you could give us more trained workforce, we grow more jobs, more prosperity. So we got to do more work there. And finally, we're making real progress on both. I hope we have real challenges and concerns about keeping our children safe. So we'll have some more ideas there. And heroin addiction, opiate addiction. We're making real progress, but we've still got more to do. So let's not give up.
Do you think the plan you outlined yesterday for Lake Champlain has adequate money and it's going to fly by the EPA?
I hope so, because what I tried to explain yesterday is that if we fail, if they reject our plan, if we can't get the legislature to raise the dollars that we need to put in, all of us, to help clean up our waterways, their only hook today under the Federal Clean Water Act, because it's been so long since Congress could update it, is to tell us to come in and basically rebuild all of our wastewater treatment plants. Now, if we did that, it would cost us hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. That's a huge burden on property taxpayers and people who are paying soaring water rates right now. And it would clean up our lake by 3%. I mean, it's just foolish. It's not Vermont common sense. So the reason it was so important for me to lay out the lake plan yesterday that I did was, we're all going to have to pitch in. We're all going to have to pay. We all have a responsibility collectively to help clean up the lake. And if the EPA gets it their way, we're all in really big trouble, because we're going to spend a ton of loot and our water won't be much cleaner.
Why are people then so critical of the Conservation Law Foundation? Sounds to me from your answer there that nothing would have happened this year either had that lawsuit not been filed. Why is everybody so tough on these guys?
I think that we should be grateful for the advocates that are working hard for clean water. Listen, we're losing our battle for clean water before our eyes. People are frustrated. They're fed up. And, you know, one of the things I didn't say yesterday but should make clear is, with all the good work that I'm going to push through on the lake, and I'm bound and determined to do it, you're not going to have cleaner water next year. You know, we've got so much phosphorus in our lakes right now that it's going to take us time to turn this around. But what we can't do is say, this challenge is so big and so hard and it's going to take so long that we give up. Let our kids and grandkids, you know, have our lakes be virtually unusable.
844-1777 is our local number. Toll free 877-291-8255. What was your reaction to the protesters at your speech yesterday?
It saddened me. It saddened me because it's the first time that that I've ever seen a inaugural event where we're swearing in the statewide office holders, the legislature and the governor are all coming together. We're hopefully putting aside our partisan differences and rolling up our sleeves and getting to work for Vermont, do the right thing for Vermont, which is what we do in this state. And instead, we literally saw it interrupted in a way that I just didn't think fell into the way we do things in Vermont in terms of civility, respect, and decency. And I understand their frustration. I'm frustrated too. As someone who believes deeply that we should move to a publicly financed system as quickly as we possibly can, I think it hurt our cause.
You know, Senator Campbell said that last hour too. So when you say it hurts the cause, why would a protest hurt a cause if the issue is really money, health care, quality of care, those kinds of things?
Protests are great, and everyone having a voice is great. And the great thing about Vermont is we have the most open democracy you'll find anywhere. You can call your legislators, you can talk to us, and so forth. I think that when you literally start to interrupt and make it impossible for a preacher or to offer their prayers, most importantly, to try to stop short inaugural ceremony, it's a level of a lack of respect for the process that really hurts Vermont. I just don't think that's how we do things. So it's great to protest and to have your point of view put forward, but you do have a responsibility to do that in a way that is also respecting other people's point of views, and they didn't.
Let's take a couple of calls here. We go to Middlebury. I'm sorry, is it Bill? Good morning.
Hi, Mark. Yes, it's Bill. Congratulations, Governor Shumlin, on your win yesterday.
Hey, thank you.
The one thing that's sticking my craw right now a little bit is that we are $100 million in the hole, and yet we passed a law that's going to be challenged in the Supreme Court for the GMO labeling law that's purportedly going to cost us $10 million or more to defend. And I just wonder where the fiscal responsibility of our legislature is going when, you know, we can't even afford to put, you know, food on the table for our poorest Vermonters, and yet we're challenging, you know, a law, or we're being challenged on a law that is going to cost us so much money on a, you know, per capita basis versus waiting for other states to get on board and doing this and taking that challenge at a cost that's much less on a per capita basis if it's done on, like, say, a New England basis.
All right. Thank you for your call, Bill.
Well, I appreciate the point of view, Bill. And actually, there were some legislators who obviously agree with that approach because other states have sort of had a trigger where a certain number of states have to adopt it before anyone goes forward. The legislature and I felt that this issue is so important, having Vermonters be able to actually know what's in their food is a basic right, that we should push ahead and do the right thing. And what one has to understand in terms of the $100 million deficit is that the money for these suits comes out of the Attorney General's overall, the first place the money comes from is the Attorney General overall budget that they manage, and much of the money comes from other suits that they win. In other words, if you start saying, hey, we're not going to fight for things that we believe in because we're afraid that big companies will take us to court and challenge us and it'll cost us some money, you stop standing up for what's right for Vermont. So it's a slippery slope. And I think we actually did the right thing in saying a lot of our constituents aren't saying necessarily GMOs are good or they're bad. We just want to have the right to know what's in it. Just like when you pick up your ingredients, you can see how much sugar's in the stuff you're buying, how much fat's in it. Why shouldn't you know whether or not there's GMO products in it? Consumers should have the right to know. We think it's important.
Let's go to Sheldon. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning. I was at the State House yesterday, and I observed a very large police presence there. And I was wondering if the governor knew that there was going to be protesters coming. And I am wondering why they were allowed to break all the rules of the State House, why there was a double standard for this group of protesters.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ruth.
Thanks, Ruth. Generally, the approach to Vermont has always been that people should be able to express themselves. And in the past, they've always done it in a respectful way. You know, they've been here, they've had signs. It's not the first time we've seen signs and so forth and people expressing their point of view. But then they've been respectful of the proceedings. And this is the first time I can remember where you actually saw folks clearly trying to disrupt the proceedings. And that was a huge disappointment, I'm sure, to you and to me and to a lot of Vermonters. So, you know, it's a fine line. It's the people's house. We want the public to be able to be here. This is their government, their legislature. And one of the great things about Vermont is we don't have a lot of barriers having access to the folks that, we elect. And, you know, I personally think the state police, the Montpelier police, the Capitol police did an extraordinary job of dealing with, you know, a bad, an unfortunate choice that these folks made while still, you know, maintaining a fair amount of order. So it was a tough situation. We can quarterback it, obviously. Yes, we did have some indication that there was going to be some protests. I don't think any of us knew that they were going to try and actually disrupt the proceedings.
Let's go to Montpelier. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Governor. Dave Bleeding from Montpelier. Hi.
Hi, Dave.
Listen, let's look forward. Is it possible under the law to bring back Catamount and VHAP? Because we know Obamacare is unaffordable for folks of modest incomes and moderate incomes. And if we can't do that, can we provide perhaps a wraparound plan for folks who are going to struggle with the out-of-pocket costs of Obamacare? And I'm sure you guys have been thinking about that. So
right.
I just want to know what you think.
Yep. So first of all, Dave, thanks for the call. And so this is what Dave's pointing out. Before the Affordable Care Act passed, Vermont had Catamount, VHAP, and Dr. Dinosaur that actually paid more generous benefits than what the Affordable Care Act passed. So what we did, Dave, was we're one of two states, Vermont and Massachusetts, that actually right now subsidize premiums for folks who are benefiting from VHAP and Catamount that are very similar to what we were doing prior to the Affordable Care Act. So now the question for me is, in light of the good news that we've cut our insurance rates in half, uninsured rates roughly in half, as a result of the Affordable Care Act, so it's working in that regard. We're signing a lot more folks up for Medicare and for Medicaid and other programs. What do we do now to get the rest of the way? And there's two challenges that Dave just outlined. One is about 3% of Vermonters, which is the lowest rate, among the lowest rates in the country. Vermont and Massachusetts are about tied. But still, 3% of folks don't have any insurance. That's about 20,000 Vermonters. And so many Vermonters have a barrier to preventative and good health care because out-of-pocket costs are so high. And my question is, do we take the limited resources that we have and go after trying to buy down the rest of those uninsured so we have no uninsured left? Or are we better off finding ways to, as you just said, Dave, subsidize folks who are struggling to pay for access to health care? And those are issues that we'll be looking at this legislative session. I'm open to both recommendations. I would like to see us both have no uninsured, because having insurance is terrible. Having no insurance is a really terrible situation to be in. And trying to find ways to further subsidize our system so that you don't have folks not going in because they're suffering from bronchitis because they got to pay when they get there.
If you're not going to pursue this single-payer health care plan, are there fewer people that you will need in those high-profile health care reform positions?
No, we've got a ton of work to do on healthcare. Listen, there's two, I've always said, and I know that the stuff that gets the headlines is how we pay for, how we raise the money for it. I've said many times that no system can survive if we keep spending money the way we're spending money. And that's why I want Vermont to be the first state that moves from the fee-for-service system that reimburses our providers for quantity to one that reimburses them for quality, while we continue to go after the remaining uninsured and the barriers to care, particularly for primary care providers. Now, I know this is getting in the weeds, but the Medicaid shift that's going on right now is exasperated by the Affordable Care Act. We've signed more people
up for
it.
How are you going to make that happen?
Well, we'll make an announcement on that next week, but I'm going to continue to push ahead boldly for what I think is right in healthcare. And I got to tell you, having primary care physicians and doctors and healthcare providers get a reasonable pay for the work they're doing is going to help us all have a better healthcare system, and maintain the system that we've got.
Bill, good morning. Thank you for joining us. How are you today?
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes. Well, first of all, two things. A quick voicing of support for the protesters. I feel like the last centuries have shown that sometimes interrupting the status quo can be the only way that disenfranchised folks can lend their voice to a debate. And they were just exercising their right to peaceful protest. That said, actually what I want to ask the governor about is every year is a tough budget year. And I think greater and greater percentages of our municipal, state, federal budgets are going towards servicing debt, borrowing money from equity firms, Wall Street. How much money of the Vermont budget is going just towards debt service? And what opportunity is there for us maybe creating a state bank and recapturing a good portion of that money to reinvest in Vermont?
Thank you for your call. Yeah.
So the good news is that we've had Republican and Democratic governors every other time that we've switched governors since the 1960s, since Governor Philhoff. And we've always hired governors who are fiscally responsible, who don't pay bills that, put off paying bills that are there to be paid. And the result is that Vermont has one of the best bond ratings in the country. That's because, the reason that Wall Street gives us this good bond rating is because our debt to resident level is lower than most of the states around us. And we therefore carry less debt than most states. So, if you're talking about states like California, some of the states that spend money pretty wildly without figuring out how they're going to pay for it, you would have more taxpayer money in those states supporting debt than even the state of Vermont.
Carbon tax? What do you think about that idea?
I wish that the federal government would do a lot of things. And one of them is use this low oil price time to pass a national carbon tax. Mm-hmm. I don't think a carbon tax makes sense or will work for the little state of Vermont for the simple reason
that...
Well, let's just take...
I mean, because you're really, into climate change.
And I'll do anything I can to advance our climate change challenges as quickly as we can, but I don't want to do things that don't make sense. And this makes no sense.
How
it would hurt Vermont economically for the simple reason that, I was born and raised in Windham County. If I'm heading down to Brattleboro and I can buy my gas for 30 or 40 or 50 cents less a gallon just by crossing the bridge, I'm crossing the bridge. And that's true for people on the Massachusetts line, the New York line, and the New Hampshire line. So it makes, a carbon tax might... The folks who are trapped would pay the carbon tax, and that's probably in this state, Chittenden County. They got to either go into Canada where it's would be as high as ours, or cross a lake, or drive a long way. But, it's just not realistic. We got to do things that really work, and I think it would hurt the economy because of that. Now, regions do it, that makes sense. If you could get 7 or 8 or 9 states so you don't end up cross-border issues, it would be a smart public policy choice to make. But this notion, this teeny little narrow state can suddenly have oil and gas prices that are $1, $2 a gallon higher than everybody else, good luck.
Thank you for your time this morning. Please take some Vermont Coffee Company coffee, which we've been giving to all of our guests this morning. Don't think you're special for any reason.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
The dark roast is what we give our guests, and thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Mark, for doing the show. We're back on. I know that you do this for the whole session, and it's hugely helpful to your listeners, so thanks for doing it.
Well, thanks for, we greatly appreciate you participating every week as well, too, so thank you for
weekend.
Doing that. Governor Peter Shumlin, we'll take a short break. We're scheduled next to talk with Senator Kevin Mullen. We'll be back here at the State House right after these important announcements.
All smiles, all smiles, all smiles, family dental. All smiles, all smiles, family dental. All smiles, all smiles, family dental center. MyVTSmiles.com.
The condition of your teeth impacts your entire health. All Smiles Family Dental Center features an artisan quality denture lab on the Barry Montpelier Road.